Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Do you wrestle with loneliness? Loneliness is one of those troubling problems in humanity, and sometimes we all experience moments of loneliness, but if it's more of a pervasive problem in your life, is there something we can learn about loneliness? Are there some things that will make a difference about approaching loneliness? Well, throughout this half hour, we have some tips for you. Coming up near the end of the program, my friend and psychologist counselor Dr. Todd Linneman will be joining me to give some specific help if you're wrestling with loneliness.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. If you have a story on loneliness, we'd love to hear it. So call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you have an intentional life in Jesus Christ, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. As we started the program, I mentioned that loneliness is something that each of us will experience at some time in our life. It can be as a result of a situation, a loss, a death, a move. I've talked to people who move from one location where they were deeply rooted to a new spot, and they have trouble connecting, and they feel lonely. This isn't just a personality issue either. It's not just that introverted or quiet people are lonely and extroverts are not. The fact is, extroverted personalities sometimes have a facade, and underneath, they're feeling very lonely, and that can be true for those who are introverted. They're not lonely at all, and yet they're quiet. So it's more than just personality or being in the life of the party. This is about something that goes on the inside. And today, we have some stories you're going to hear, some calls, testimonies, and as I mentioned, my friend Dr. Todd Linneman will be coming along here in just a few minutes to share some specific help for you on loneliness. Tell us your story. Share it on our story line when you call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
I'd like to address a caller's comments, and she talked about the loneliness of a marriage where she and her husband were not totally connected. I was in much the same situation. I decided to make this marriage work and get rid of this loneliness that was destroying my life. I started trying to find things that we were both interested in, little things, anything that would put me beside him for a long period of time. I tried to get up every morning and just let him know how much I loved him, even though I didn't feel love. We've been married 36 years now, and our marriage is so great, and our intimacy is wonderful. It's almost like we're newlyweds. So just keep trying, just keep remembering I love him, and keep working toward those goals.
Dr. Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center, where we are all about pursuing God intentionally in our marriage, our family, our relationships. And we love talking to you all. You're welcome to share a question with me or a story with me at 888-888-1717. Danny did, and he's on the line with me right now. Danny, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Tell me what's going on. What's your question? Why'd you contact us?
Yeah, but my question is that I just, why can I not find a woman that can live an intentional life? I've been divorced for now 19 years, and every woman that I have met, me including in church, has, how do I say it, a lot of baggage, and they want to smoke, they want to drink, they want to do this, they want to do that, and it's just, it's hard to find somebody that lives a life that is intentional, that loves the Lord, and it's just hard to find somebody that would, you know, that would live a good life.
Well, let me say two things. One is, when we think of baggage, we all have baggage, and especially
as we get older,
I mean, you've been through a divorce yourself, so you bring baggage into a relationship yourself. We all do. Life is filled with baggage. I mean, I think it's kind of like we start with an empty suitcase and we just keep filling it up in our lives, and sometimes we put the wrong things into it. So baggage comes along with human beings, and especially later in life. As far as finding a woman, quote, that's living an intentional life, let me ask you a question. How would you define intentional?
A woman who loves the Lord with all their heart,
okay,
who doesn't smoke, who doesn't drink, and who doesn't believe in sex before marriage. And that's was something that I pride myself on and lived that life when I was, before I was married. I never had sex before marriage. I never had that. I never smoked and never drank in my life. And that's something that I would want. And who loves the Lord with all their heart.
Okay.
And it's hard to see that because most of the girls want to party. They want to go out and do this and do that. And it's hard. I mean, it's tough because the way I devoted my life to God is, you know, living intentionally and living by the word of God and not breaking the commandment that I have with Christ.
Well, and I applaud that, Danny, and you've been very clear. I mean, intentional living to you is a list of things. They love the Lord, the God, with all their heart, mind, soul, and then they don't smoke, they don't drink, and they don't party. I mean, you got some clear things, which, by the way, I'm not opposed to. I think those are things that we need to be in our Christian walk avoiding because those things can... Well, I'll leave it there. We know that these things can damage our lives and contrary to living intentionally. But you're not going to find a perfect woman out there any more than she's going to find a perfect man in you or anybody else. And I would encourage you, Danny, to not be so much in, quote, pursuit of an intentional woman as really pursuing God and really building your relationship with Him and making yourself available. One of the things that I believe is this law of attraction. I think we tend not to attract what we want, but we tend to attract who we are. And what I mean by that is sometimes we say, you know, this is what I want in life, but we tend to attract more who we really are. If we're a person of integrity and honesty, if we're outgoing and we're connecting with people and we're serving others, we're going to tend to attract people around us that are going to be more supportive of that, the way we view life. Not what we say, but how we live. So what I mean by that, Danny, is I would encourage you in a real practical way not to be, quote, in pursuit of a woman, but just in pursuit of God, to be who you are, to be so attractive, frankly, that the women who see you are going to say, you know, that guy is different. The way he lives, his priorities, is not just a checklist of things he doesn't do, but you love God so deeply, and they see the Holy Spirit in your life. Frankly, women who are not attracted to that are not going to be attracted to you. It's going to be women who are attracted to a man who lives so godly and intentionally in their life, not just a list of things, but just immersed in God's Spirit. You're more likely to attract those kinds of women. Now, I know that's kind of a theoretical statement, but the reality is how you live is how you're going to be who you're going to attract. So I think you take it in prayer, take it a step at a time, and don't be in any hurry.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I live my life basically that way. I mean, I love the Lord with all my heart, and it's just sad to see some of the girls that are living not a good life. And, you know, they love the Lord, but they just don't live like they should, and it hurts me.
Well,
you
need to pray for them, but again, listen, we talk about intimate relationships in marriage, we don't want to be, as the Bible says, yoked with someone that we're not on the same page with. But at the same time, I'll tell you what, in relationships and marriage in particular, if perfection is the goal, we're all going to be sorely disappointed because life's a journey and growth is something that's optional. We got to decide to grow, and it's a daily, daily decision. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call, Danny. I'm going to challenge you to 30 days. If you want to get started on getting out of debt or really having a new financial plan for yourself, take the next 30 days. Look around and sell all the unneeded assets in your life. You got stuff in your garage. It's amazing. Someone told me the other day they had a garage sale and they had like $700 worth of stuff that they sold. They had no idea all that stuff was worth $700 in the garage. But as you look around, if you want to, because the goal here, remember, we're going after a goal of getting out of debt, right? If that's not your goal, if your goal is to just get by, then this class probably won't help you a lot. Because if it's just, I just want to get by and get through the day, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing. If the goal is to say, hey, I want to have a little more cushion, I want to honor Christ and to get out of debt, then I encourage you to start generating upfront as much cash as you can.
This is a very practical lesson this month for all members of Intentional Living. I'm calling it Mad Money, and that's an acrostic, by the way, that's used to express what we believe at Intentional Living is we got to get mad enough before we'll change, changing our mindset,
our attitude, and our decisions. And it's for members. And so members, watch for that in the mail. If you already don't have it, you should be getting it pretty soon here if you don't. If you're not a member, we'd love to have you come and be a part of the ongoing ministry every month. God bless you. Ongoing teaching for you and your family, for your church, for those you share the CD with. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And again, I want to thank those of you who've been supporting our ministries this week and last week. Thank you for your ongoing support for keeping the radio and the Ministry of Intentional Living going. We appreciate it so very much. And just before I go off to break, I want to remind you they got something really super cool coming up here. I'm excited about it. You know, we do conferences for couples. We do conferences for kids or for couples and parents and so on. But God has laid on my heart over the last number of years a passion and an interest and a compassion for families that also work together. He's taking two of the five essential areas of life, your family and work. When they combine, some interesting things can happen. It can be very positive. It can be stressful. But certainly it's focused on legacy and on finance and on communication and so on. And we have created a very powerful conference coming to Phoenix from all over the country. People are coming to the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, May 28 and 29 for the Thrive Conference for Families and Business. I've invited John Solheim, the CEO and chairman of the Ping Corporate Family Business of Ping Golf Clubs. He's coming to share his story. We have Beatenbow Holmes from Lubbock. Holly Beatenbow is going to be there. Dr. Todd Linneman, a psychologist friend who's going to be sharing on relationships. We have help and information on the healthcare law. We have the Bancrofts from Michigan coming to share their story and going to be part of it as well. And we'd love to have you be a part of it. If you've not registered, we encourage you to do so. April is the early bird cutoff month here for the discount. So go today to familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you conquered loneliness, or are you still in the midst of it? We'd love to hear your story, and our lines are still open for you to call. The number is 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Christ. Dr. Randy's got more encouragement for you in the second half. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. If you're in a family business, I have something very important to share with you. We've assembled an expert faculty of godly men and women to join me in leading a very practical two-day limited seating conference covering topics you've told us are important to you and your family business. It's May 28th and 29th at the beautiful Biltmore Resort. So don't miss the April early bird discount period. Register today. Go to familybusinessconference.com.
Hey, Tom. Tom.
Hey, what's up?
Wow, what are you listening to?
Oh, yeah, it's a podcast from Dr. Randy Carlson. Download them all the time. I listen to them on my way into the office.
So what are they about?
Are you kidding? If you can think of a subject, chances are Dr. Randy's got a podcast on it. Everything from making your marriage better to helping raising your kids when you'd rather sell them to gypsies.
Can I listen to that one right now, please? Lately, it seems my kids have been whisked away and replaced by aliens.
Download free podcasts, past shows, and more from Dr. Randy at theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. About a month ago, we did a program called Single and Satisfied, and we got some great stories on Facebook. Here's what Kimberly said. She said, being single at 22 has its good days, great days, and hard days. It seems like most of my friends are either with someone, meeting that special someone, or getting married. And I can't lie, I feel lonely. But in those moments, Jesus always reminds me that He is here, and He really is all that I need. He is my satisfaction, and each day I can feel Him making me more complete. How about you? Do you need some encouragement? Then join our Facebook family today. Go to theintentionallife.com and press the Facebook icon. Randy?
Thanks, Kurt. Dr. Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center. The phone line's always open to you 24 hours a day, where you can leave comments, questions for us, and many get on the air here. As you call 888-888-1717. You can go to Twitter, by the way, at the IL Center, IL standing for Intentional Living, of course, the IL Center, or Facebook at Intentional Living. Let's get on the line here. Go to Phoenix with Phil, who's on the line to the Intentional Living Center. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's going on?
Well, I'm just wondering if you could help me with a question. I have, I think I'm a Christian. I've given my heart to Christ years ago, but I am not finding a church that I'm finding any connection with right now. It's like I've gone to, oh, boy, if I had a list, I could probably write a few pages of them, but it seems like it's empty. Like they avoid you, or they don't want to talk to you, or if they do talk, it's almost the other extreme. You know, I've had one in particular that they just jumped on you like a, I don't know, like a, you know, I felt like almost I needed some boundaries for that, mm-hmm. you know. So I did, you know, that was just one, but most of them just ignore you. It seems like they're in their own little worlds.
Let me ask Phil, do you wrestle with loneliness?
Yes.
Has it been hard for you over the years to maintain relationships?
Yeah, in fact, sometimes I find that the people that I do relate to, that sometimes I think I'm being betrayed by them, or okay. they kind of like, you know, they do things that are...
Have you been hurt in life?
Oh, I think so, many times.
Yeah. Well, I ask these things, Phil, because obviously there's no perfect church, but when I hear someone say I've been to multiple churches and, you know, they're either one extreme or the other, I then talk about, okay, how can you as an individual deal with maybe what's going on in your life? There's no perfect churches, Phil. You know that, and people are people, and, you know, every church we can walk out of and say they should have done this and should have done that. I mean, we can eat the pastor for lunch right after the message, what he said, what he should have said, what the people should have done, what they shouldn't have done, and that's the way it is. But if you wrestle with loneliness, you're probably one of the things you're going to find is it's going to be hard for you to connect into a church because these boundaries are difficult for you in terms of either there's too much or too little, and if maintaining relationships is difficult for you, I think one of the things you need to work on is thinking about and praying about this, Phil. Whenever we set up an expectation for another human being, they're going to disappoint us. Expectations minus reality always equals disappointment. That's why so many divorces occur. My spouse didn't meet my needs, didn't measure up, wasn't who I thought they were going to be. That's why we leave positions often, because I had an expectation on a position or a boss or a coworker and it didn't measure up. This is true of political parties, churches, neighbors, friends, everything. We get disappointed, and then that creates a problem. And the problem, Phil, is that when we have our expectations on other people and what they should be or shouldn't be, we're always going to be disappointed. There's not a church in Phoenix, Arizona that you're going to find that you can go into if the problem is Phil. If the problem is Phil can't connect with people very easily, it's going to be almost impossible to go through three or four people at a church until you run into somebody that's going to be offensive to you.
I also, you know, wrestle with a couple of commandments that Christ gave, you know, in Exodus. You know, I've been to all kinds of churches, as I said, Dr. Randy, and, you know, one of them is the Sabbath day. I just wonder why folks, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out, why we worship Sunday as Christ said to rest on Saturday.
All right. Now we've changed the topic. We changed the topic. And that's an interesting discussion, and there are churches that do worship on Saturday, and they hold to the Sabbath, others Sunday, and that's my tradition, because we believe the Lord arose on resurrection on Sunday in the beginning of the week. But I think getting back to the real question, Phil, is it possible that you're going to find reasons not to go to church? Is it possible you're going to find every reason why it's difficult to be a part of a congregation of other believers? I'm just trying to be honest with you. This is what I'm wondering. Is it difficult for you that you need to maybe work with some things in your own life and change the focus perhaps from your needs to the needs of others and getting into a church where you can serve others and find, when you go to a church, what can I do to serve others? How can I help others? How can I be involved in other people's lives, as opposed to, is this church, either through their tradition or their worship style or their people or their whatever, are they meeting my needs? It's really a focus thing, I think, maybe you need to pray about and look at.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
Because these are legitimate. I mean, your questions are legitimate. Some churches worship on a Saturday. Some worship on a Sunday. That's worth studying, looking at. I mean, my tradition and my belief is Sunday. But when it comes to getting along with people, you know what? I can find reasons in all the churches that Don and I have attended over our years as we've moved around the country. I could tell you five reasons every church we've attended, probably we should go look for another church. But you know what? There's probably other people who've come to that church or to the churches we've attended and have said, God met me in this place and met me in this place. And the church is a place for those of us who are sick people, to come to worship God, to grow, to serve, and to reach the needs of other people. And ultimately, that's it. That's the need. Can I pray with you, Phil?
Sure can.
Because I really, you need to be connected into a church, you know, but I'd encourage you to take the initiative to find the church and go and be a part of it and figure out how to get plugged in service. Lord, I pray for Phil. We know that as human beings, our expectations can get in the way. Loneliness is a problem for many of us. We know that loneliness is a sense of not being connected, and there's so many things that can cause that in our lives. But your love should cause us to focus on the needs of others. Think not only of our own interests, but also the interests of others. I pray that you'll direct Phil to a place of service and growth, connection and community. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thank you, Phil. Appreciate your call, my friend. We'll be praying for you.
Okay, thanks, doctor.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right,
bye-bye.
I used to, every time my girlfriends would sit still or talk with me very long, I'd bring up the fact that I was alone and talk about all the disadvantages to being alone. And about 2 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said to just stop it, to stop talking about it. And the funny thing was, is that when I was obedient to the Lord and stopped talking about it, I found that the loneliness lessened. Talking about it with my friends and family gave life to the loneliness and made it last longer.
Hi, yes, my name is Wadsworth, and I am going through loneliness, and I just need some solutions on how to overcome loneliness. And I've been lonely all my life.
For the young abandoned husband, left alone without a reason.
You know, that's Twyla Paris, and she reminds us, if your heart is broken, you're feeling lonely, God loves you. As we wrap up this program today on Learning from Loneliness, I asked my friend and colleague, Dr. Todd Linneman, to step over from his office next door here, where he's a counselor and a coach and works with leaders and families and individuals every day, to take a little break and come on over. Thank you, Todd, for coming over. Appreciate it. Loneliness it can be a problem. And we were talking before you came in the studio here that it can be more serious than just loneliness. But what are some things you have learned in helping people deal with loneliness in their life?
Over the years, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people who struggle with loneliness, and it's very, very painful. You know, God created us to do life in community, to be able to connect mm-hmm. with other human beings and to benefit from that connection. And there's a lot of people today, as you well know, and as you've heard in the testimonies of your callers, who are extremely lonely. So it's almost an epidemic in some ways. But oftentimes, as I work with people who are lonely, I look at the reasons why they're lonely. Perhaps they're fearful of interacting with people. They don't feel confident. They don't feel good about themselves. Perhaps they are, recently relocated, so they're away from friends and family. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're recently divorced or had a breakup of some kind or lost a loved one. But, one of the most important things to do is to admit that you're lonely, to acknowledge it, to express it. Let people know. Don't just express it through prayer or in your own mind, but let people know. As the caller mentioned earlier, don't dwell on it. Don't always talk about it. Loneliness is a very passive state, and that's part of the problem. In fact, that's most of the problem. People, when they're lonely, often find themselves as being more passive than active. And the way to combat loneliness primarily is to be active, to reach out to other people.
I like that one lady said, when I just keep talking about it and talking about it, doesn't help, but it sounds like she's going out and living and being active and being involved. And it's not only a personality thing, Todd. I mean, you got people who are extrovert, they're very outgoing. They can be lonely on the mm-hmm. inside. You have some people who are more introverted, gaining their strength from those inner thoughts and so on, and they may not be wrestling with loneliness. So it's more than just personality, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. You can have people who are alone and they're not the least bit lonely. And you can have people who are surrounded by people and they can be very lonely. So no, it's not. It's an emotion. It's a state of mind and emotion. And but again, it can be very passive. And one of the best ways to combat it is to make the decision to identify those things you can do that are active in nature. Reaching out to people, basically. Right. Participating in life. Again, sharing your loneliness, looking at things you could perhaps get involved with that might become a routine or part mm-hmm. of your schedule, a Bible study or a club or a group of some kind. There are so many lonely people out there. One of the things I often tell people struggling with loneliness, I say to them, find the lonely people. Call your church if you're a part of a church. Ask the pastor, who are some shut-ins? Who are some people that have told you they're lonely? May I have their names? And I'm going to get in touch with them and connect with them. One of the real effective ways to deal with loneliness is to find people perhaps that you can write to or that you can determine in your heart you're going to encourage by sending notes or cards, letters. Emotional expression through writing is a very powerful tool, very helpful tool.
And of course, even with all those things, if you find yourself still feeling rather depressed and alone, there's a point where you need to seek some professional help for sure. Todd, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'll let you get back to your good work as a psychologist and counselor helping families every day. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.